It's Derek here from Bomb Socks, and welcome to the Bomb Bites podcast. Hey, if you're new to Bomb Bites, it's a service from our company Bomb Socks to help be a resource to you as you're studying along with the Come Follow Me curriculum for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Hope you enjoy today's episode. Okay, friends, I always love to see a good power verse in the scriptures, just ones that, you know, stand alone that you could like read on a church billboard or on a missionary plaque, just those solid verses. And you know them, we've got them all over the scriptures, and I'm grateful for them. Now, one of the greatest power verses, in fact, I've got it right back here on my back wall here. It's Jacob chapter 6, verse 12, and it simply says, "Oh, be wise, what can I say more?" Now, if you were to just keep that on its own, it is a great power verse. But one of the things I like to do. Whenever I see a good power verse, I'd like to see what the context is of it in the scriptures. So I try to read the previous verses. I read some of the ones after it. I see what's going on in the history and the context of what's going on, because I totally believe that if you understand the context, it helps you appreciate the content just a little bit more. Understanding that we just spent the last couple days talking about Jacob chapter 5 with the olive tree allegory. And there's a reason, like I said at the first of the week, there's a reason why Jacob 4 comes before Jacob chapter 5. As Jacob unfolds this mystery of how the Lord is going to gather individuals who do not even necessarily believe in him, but it grieves him to lose these trees, so he is going to keep working with them. This is why Jacob chapter 6 comes right after this. Now, this is Jacob giving his own commentary on what Zenas just spent so much talking about. And again, I'm grateful that Jacob took the time and the effort to put that olive tree allegory here, because it is so powerful. You go to verse number 1 of Jacob chapter 6, and again, we're going to put this all around this idea of, oh, be wise, what can I say more? And now behold, my brethren, as I said unto you that I would prophesy, behold, this is my prophecy, that the things which this prophet Zenas spake concerning the house of Israel, in the which he likened them unto a tame olive tree, must surely come to pass. And the day that he shall set his hand again the second time to recover his people, which I think is so good, our God is a God of second chances, I absolutely believe that, is the day, even the last time, that the servants of the Lord shall go forth in his power to nourish and prune his vineyard, which we've talked about. And after that, the end soon cometh. And how blessed are they who have labored diligently in his vineyard. I love the fact that the Lord gives us opportunities to be able to labor in the vineyard, to be able to help bring about the gathering of Israel. President Nelson has been so clear about the idea of us gathering Israel. It's what we do, and the Lord allows us to be able to take part in this great gathering of his trees and his vineyard. Verse number 4, and how merciful is our God unto us, for he remembereth the house of Israel, both roots and branches, and he stretches forth his hands unto them all the day long. One thing I always like to do whenever I'm reading the olive tree allegory, I like to go back to the title page of the Book of Mormon, which has one of my favorite phrases in there. It says, to show unto a remnant of the house of Israel that they are not cast off forever. That's such an important thing to understand, and it's why the olive tree allegory is such a key element in the Book of Mormon to be able to teach this message that the title page is so clear about. Now, one of the things I notice in the olive tree allegory, I try to look for words or phrases. Like yesterday, I saw the, it grieveth me that I should lose this tree, which tells you the deep feelings that the Lord has for us. One of the words I saw over and over again is the word preserve, or some kind of form of the word preserve. And it is mentioned 20 times in the olive tree allegory about preserving this tree. In fact, you see it as early as verse number 8, where it says, I may preserve the fruit thereof unto myself. The word preserve, I've always looked at it as just as like, I'm saving this for me. You really dig deep into the word preserve, it means to keep safe from injury or harm or destruction, which means to protect. It also means to keep alive, intact, or free from decay, which also means to maintain. It means also to keep or to save them from decomposition. It also means to can or to pickle, meaning similarly to prepare for future use, which I think is so cool. Sometimes the Lord pickles us so that we can be able to be saved and preserved for future use. I think that's a great definition. Also, to keep up and reserve for personal or special use. Now, with that in mind, go all the way down to verse number 53 again. You can scroll like crazy through this whole chapter. This I will do, that the tree may not perish, that perhaps I may preserve unto myself the roots thereof for mine own purpose. Now you think about the Lord's purpose. His work and his glory is to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of us. He loves the trees. It grieves him that he should lose the trees. And so that's why he wants to do everything he can to preserve that tree. Now, if you were to click on the word own, meaning own purpose right there, it's going to take you to a couple really good verses. One of them I've heard referred to as the thesis statement of the Old Testament. It is Exodus chapter 19, verse number 6, which if you put together verses 5 and 6 from Exodus chapter 19, it really helps solidify this idea of what it means to preserve the house of Israel. Now, therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. The word peculiar here is from an original Greek that means purchased or preserved, which I think is so cool. Verse number 6, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and holy nation. And these are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So this is the Lord saying to Moses, like, look, tell these people why I want to preserve them, because I want them to be different from the rest of the world so they can make a difference in the world. And maybe this is why Jacob takes some time back in chapter 6 to really let us know, look, the Lord remembers the house of Israel. You are his purchased, you are his preserved individuals, and you and I get an opportunity to help gather Israel. Verse number 5 back in Jacob chapter 6, wherefore, my beloved brethren, which again, he says that so many times, which I love, I beseech of you in words of soberness that you would repent and come with full purpose of heart. Cleave unto God as he cleaveth unto you, and while his arm of mercy is extended towards you in the light of day, harden not your hearts, which you go down a couple of verses, which is where you've got the wonderful context of, oh, be wise, what can I say more? So if you and I can remember that we are here to be able to gather, we're here to be able to be purchased and preserved to help be different from the rest of the world, that's going to help us understand why it is so crucial for us to be wise in the things that we do. I love this verse, but I love the context surrounding it as well. If you'd like to check out our video that goes with today's podcast, you can find us on YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook by simply searching Bomb Socks. That's BOMSOCKS. And be sure to check out our amazingly comfortable gospel-themed socks at bombsocks.com. Thanks for listening, and hope you'll join us again for more episodes of Bomb Bites. Godspeed, and have a great day.